Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Evan Horowitz. Hot off the research presses, there's a new approach that might just help prevent early heart attacks, breast cancer, or other serious diseases. But you don't get a diagnosis, just a probability score. Scientists at the Broad Institute, Massachusetts General Hospital, and Harvard Medical School have discovered a new way to calculate an individual's inherited genetic risks for heart disease, and they think it could be used to look at a variety of other risk factors as well. Joining us for our weekly Common Health check-in to talk about this research is Common Health contributor Karen Weintraub. Karen, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Thanks so much.
So, tell us, what's this research all about?
Well, this research dives into the fact that about 1 in 5 people who have a heart attack had no warning signs. We all know that high cholesterol can increase your risk of a heart attack, same with blood pressure, smoking, or family history of heart disease. But there's a whole segment of people who have none of these warning signs and still end up having a heart attack at a young age. Sek Katharasan, professor of medicine at Harvard Med, the Broad, and Mass General, and lead author of the study, told me that was really the starting point for his team.
What we've known over the last few years is that if you take 100 people with early heart attack, you can find the monogenic model in about 2. That leaves a lot of people left with unexplained reason for why they had a heart attack at such a young age.
Okay, whoa, monogenic. That's one of those technical medical terms. But am I right to think that when he says monogenic, he means a mutation in a single gene, and this is something different, multiple genes, polygenic?
You got it. Mono means one, referring to the risks many people may be familiar with, like the mutation in the BRCA1 or 2 gene that dramatically raises the risk for breast and ovarian cancer. And they want to distinguish that from the polygenic model that they're working with, poly for many, because they're looking at the tiny, tiny contributions that many genes make towards someone's risk. The researchers look at more than 6 million spots in a person's genes to find changes that each might increase or lower your risk. They then calculate a risk score, so far for 5 common diseases: coronary artery disease, which triggers heart attacks, atrial fibrillation, which is an irregular heartbeat, type 2 diabetes, inflammatory bowel disease, and breast cancer. They say, for instance, that about 8% of the population is at high risk for heart attack, but doesn't know it.
But maybe they will now, right? That's the idea. You're saying this technique could spot someone who's at an increased risk for heart attack, even if they don't have the traditional warning sign.
Exactly. And that's what Katharasan and his team are really excited about. Could potentially allow doctors to reach patients that are at an increased risk but are potentially unaware of that.
What's exciting here is that we have an entirely new genetic path to risk, this polygenic model that is identifying a set of people that heretofore have been kind of under the radar, have been unaware of their risk.
So, I mean, doctors, researchers, they get excited about polygenic models. patients want results, right? Do they actually think they can prevent heart attack?
Right, they do, actually. So that once you have your polygenic risk score, if you're at high risk, you could change your lifestyle a little bit, take a statin, and perhaps lower your risk.
Well, it turns out over the last couple of years, we've shown that the DNA is not destiny here, that risk conferred by the polygenic score can be modified, that basically being optimal on lifestyle can cut that risk in half, and statin medications that lower cholesterol can cut the risk in half as well.
So, people want this information. It's useful, not just for researchers. Can we get it? How hard is it to get this polygenic risk score?
You can't necessarily get it right now, but soon. If you've already had like a 23andMe or Ancestry.com type of genetic test, you have all the information you need to get this analysis. And 17 million Americans have already done this, have gotten these genetic tests. And they usually cost, I don't know, about $100, maybe a little less. The researchers are setting up a web service that will allow you to upload your 23andMe information and get back your risk score to figure out if you're in one of these high-risk categories. And they're going to start with heart attacks. Because it's a research project, Katharasan says it won't cost you anything to get this score. And he thinks it's going to be ubiquitous everywhere. Everybody's going to get one of these at some point.
And so I actually think in a few years, Most people will have the opportunity to know this number, this polygenic risk number, similar to the way we know our cholesterol right now.
Now, presumably one reason we're focusing on heart attacks is that it's still the number one leading cause of death. But there's nothing special about heart attacks in this regard. Presumably we could use the same technique to identify increased risks for lots of other diseases.
Right. They're starting with heart attacks because there's a clear benefit. You can do something about it. But in theory, Kathiresan says it's possible to establish a risk score for any disease that has a significant amount of genetic research done on it. They're working on other risk scores now for Alzheimer's, obesity, prostate cancer, and colorectal cancer. But aside from heart attack, they may not make the others publicly available right away because researchers need to test first whether it helps people know their risk, if it helps to know your risk score, if it isn't, if there aren't things like statins that you can take to bring down your risk.
You don't want to make people too nervous, tell them they're at high risk of some disease for which there is no treatment.
Exactly. Some people want to be informed of everything. Others will live their lives in constant fear unless they're below average risk for everything.
That me.
So I asked Dr. Robert Yeh, a cardiologist at Beth Israel Deaconess Medical Center, who wasn't involved in this study, whether he'd want to look at his own risk scores. He says yes to the heart attack risk, but like all good researchers, he wants to know more. He wants to make sure for other conditions where doctors don't just hand out statins, if having this kind of information changes how patients are cared for and how they fare.
Short of that evidence, I'm not sure that I'm ready today to say that, you know, I want this test done on me. I'd like to see more evidence and more research done, which I'm sure these authors are interested in doing as well.
It's interesting that he's so trepidatious, but that hesitation, it doesn't extend to cardiology, just the other conditions.
Right, because there isn't a pill you can pop to treat atrial fibrillation or prevent diabetes. But as a cardiologist, he thinks doctors like himself will provide the scores to patients and then offer statins and lifestyle changes to those at high risk for heart attack. Fundamentally, Yeh says having a risk score will help avoid those unpleasant and dangerous medical surprises.
People represent a constellation of genes, of environment, and the greater ability that we have to integrate more information pieces to identify patients at elevated risk, I think the more successful we're going to be in actually ultimately preventing and treating diseases before they occur.
So lots more research to be done, but this is a very promising place to start.
Promising is good. That's Karen Weintraub illuminating all of us about the possibilities of detecting diseases we didn't know we were at risk of. She's a contributor for WBUR's Common Health. Karen, thanks so much for coming in today.
Thank you.